Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Get some tissues ready for today's podcast. Today's story is about real love, the kind that lingers even after someone's gone, the kind of love that really breaks your heart and somehow helps to rebuild it too. I have been crying my eyes out talking with today's guest, Sabrina. She is known to so many people on TikTok as Sab for Tony, which is a nod to her late husband Tony Song, who passed away suddenly in 2022 after he had a cardiac arrest. Today's conversation is about grief, but it's also about love, healing, and also moving forward while carrying someone's memory with you. Welcome to Stephan T, where every week I'm going to introduce you to the people behind jaw-dropping, life-altering, true stories from all over the world. I'm Stephanie Jones, TV host, storyteller, and your partner in crime for the wildest podcast ride you've ever been on. Each episode, you'll hear shocking stories that'll make you realize we humans are capable of anything. Now, let's spill the tea. I came across your story and wow, I just connected with it and my heart went out to you instantly. Distinctively one moment where you were eating curry, and we'll get on to that, but it touched my heart in ways that I was really taken aback by. It all begins and ends really with Tony. Who is Tony? Tell everyone a little bit about him.
Oh yes, so Tony is my late husband who passed in December of 2022. And Tony, it's just so hard to really describe everything that he was, but when I think about Tony, I think of someone who was super, super genuine, was always very true to himself, didn't stress too much about life, and just saw life in like a brighter scenario than I did. He inspired me a lot to think more positively. The thing that I still remember about Tony and something that I'll never forget is his laugh. It's just something that I will always remember so fondly. We actually met in 2015 after he moved to Atlanta, Georgia to be a little closer to family. And we were attending the same local church, and that's kind of how we...
That meeting at the church turned into a relationship that was together for 7 years and blessed to be married for two. What was your love story like? Like, what was your first date like? Or when was the moment you found out, he's my person, he's the one?
Ooh, so the first time we met was actually during Black Friday shopping. So I love Black Friday shopping. He was actually there with his brother-in-law and some mutual friends, and I had run into him. Our brother-in-law actually introduced us to one another, but it was just like a very momentary greeting. We didn't interact that much. There was like one big hiking event that a mutual friend had created, and Tony actually lived pretty close to me at the time. And so when we were thinking about, oh, who's going to carpool with who, it just made most sense for Tony to come by and pick me up on the way to the meeting location. He picked me up, and I thought it was going to be like a very awkward 15-minute drive to the location, but I was very surprised as to how conversational and how comfortable us talking to one another was. Surprisingly, the conversation really did just flow so naturally. And then one day at church, he came up to me after service and asked me on a coffee date. And of course, I said yes. That coffee date ended up turning into a longer dinner and dessert. And our first date lasted about 6 hours, which sounds so crazy. We just had so much to talk about. And I remember he was dropping me off, and in the car, I was just joking like, oh, we should take a first picture to capture this moment. which I feel like people wouldn't normally do on a first date. But for some reason, like, I felt like, oh, this could possibly turn into something a lot bigger than we even know. And it would be nice to even have that first date picture to look back on. So we did take that picture.
And just when you talk about him, your face like lights up and it's so sweet. One thing you've shared online was Tony's love for cooking. And I think that was one way he really showed his love for you. What were his favorite dishes to make, or what were you always eagerly like, oh, please make that?
He actually was very creative in his cooking. So he cooked a bunch of different cuisines. But I personally loved whenever he made Korean food, because a lot of his recipes and what he knows about cooking, he learned from his mom, who's also an amazing cook. And so those recipes just were very comforting and very homey. And so in Korean, there's a dish called galbijjim, which is a braised short rib stew. The meat is always so tender. The stew itself is so flavorful. And that's one of my all-time favorite dishes. So he would always make that for me. And he actually really enjoyed making creme brulee. So I remember the first time he made that for me, you know, he pulled out the torch and he was torching the top of the creme brulee. And I was like, oh, okay, this guy's very fancy. But
I love that he just like whipped out a blowtorch and was like very casual.
Like, how many times have you done this in your life?
Yeah, he's like, he's professional.
It was very, very cute.
Oh, yeah. Your relationship progressed. You guys get married. And then in 2022, very suddenly, Tony passed away with a cardiac arrest. What exactly happened? And what was the lead up to that? Did he have any symptoms, anything at all?
This is my first time talking about it a bit more publicly, because it's still a very traumatic experience or memory to look back on. But he didn't have prior symptoms, but he did have an underlying coronary artery disease. It was just something that we were never aware of. I think typically people with heart conditions usually start getting tested for those like when they hit the age of 40. We just had no idea that he had any sort of underlying disease. So the cardiac arrest was extremely sudden and unexpected. It's still really hard to make sense of everything that happened that day, because it just doesn't really make sense for me in my head.
Of course. Were you guys together, or were you at work, or what did your day look like?
So that day was just any other Thursday. It was any other day. I went to a Pilates class, and then afterwards I was telling Tony that I'm going shopping, because it was my 30th birthday coming up the following week. So I was going to go and grab some decorations. And he loves golfing, so he went to the local driving range to just hit some balls. And we were just doing our separate errands. And then when he came home, that's when it happened.
Completely unexpected, no signs, just going about your everyday life. And then all of a sudden, he goes into a cardiac arrest, which has got to be petrifying for you. Talk me through what happened.
I think everyone that I came across was obviously trying to be super helpful, but also try to save Tony's life. That whole evening was and will probably forever be the worst experience of my life. Just being at a hospital and having them come in and let us know that Tony was pronounced dead was really such a dark moment in my life. To hear that and know that this is not a nightmare, but that this was actually reality, took a while for me to accept that. It's weird because I remember that night so vividly, but I also don't remember a lot of it, because I think just naturally your mind tries to forget traumatic experiences. So
I think what you said makes a lot of sense. Like you say, it's almost like having to come to some realization that just seems so far-fetched that it's just not your reality, that someone's telling you this, that you're like, this is not real.
Yeah, it's definitely, it was a out-of-body experience for sure. I don't even think I really processed that moment until months later.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
In the days that led after Tony's passing, I'm sure everything was a complete and utter blur. How did you begin to process what happened?
Oh, the days after were of the darkest moments in my life. When I got back from the hospital, my dad and my stepmom were dropping me off and they were asking me, do I want to go home with them or... you know, trying to help me and be there for me. But obviously, I think no one really knew what to do or how to help. Mm-hmm. And I actually told them that I just wanted to be home alone. And so that night when I got back from the hospital, I mean, it was already so late at that point, but I chose to stay home. I think I just really needed a moment to be alone and to just kind of sit in my grief and sit in my pain. And that evening, honestly, I was just crying the whole night and I don't think I really got any sleep. After something like this happens and you're sitting there by yourself, it really does feel like you're not fully present in your body. And it sucks that when you're going through something like that, you still have to handle logistics of someone passing. And yeah, the next day we went to my sister-in-law's house for us to start talking about the funeral arrangements. It really is so awful to have to even think about planning a funeral when your life has been completely turned upside down. But that's just the reality of someone passing. And I was just in complete survival mode and just like had to do what I had to do to plan for the funeral and really didn't give myself time or space to process what just happened. I do have this distinct memory of the day after Tony passed. It was raining pretty heavily, and I remember it was so dark in my room, and I just had a moment where I thought, okay, I have two choices. One, I can just lie here and wallow and just stay put and... yeah, that's like a very understandable response. But for me, I had this sinking feeling that like if I were to do that, I don't know if I could ever get out of that.
Mm.
And so I actively made the decision that I have to get out of bed today and I have to keep going and do what I need to do or else I may honestly just get stuck in this darkness forever. It did help being around my closest friends and my family. I definitely don't think I would have survived that time. And still to this day, I wouldn't be able to survive without them.
When you lose somebody that you love, and especially when it's somebody that's so close to you that you are immediate family, his wife, and you literally, you lose the person that you care about so much and then you're thrown into this You've got, like you say, you've got to pick a funeral plot. Who's going to carry the casket? It's all of these things that are just so mind-boggling. And in that moment, you're already dealing with so much to make these decisions. It just seems insane. And I guarantee a lot of people listening to this will have been through that, and they'll completely understand and have empathy for it, because it is one of the, like you say, the hardest, if not the hardest thing you'll ever have to do in your life. Yeah. Just getting out of bed and literally putting one foot in front of the other. That's all you had to do, and you did it. You did it.
Yeah, it's true. I somehow did it. I am really proud of myself.
One thing that you did do shortly after Tony's passing, even though everything was a complete blur and you're literally, like, saying survival mode, you made the choice to freeze the last meal that he had made for you guys. What made you think to do that with everything that was going on around you?
I got back from the hospital. I was just like, what am I even supposed to do with my life now? Mm-hmm. I saw the curry still sitting in the pot on the stovetop. And truly by instinct, I moved towards it and started putting it into Tupperware. It was a big batch, and I knew that I wasn't going to be able to eat it at some point that week, because also, like, I just don't know if I even had an appetite. So I ended up freezing most of it. I don't know what really came over me during that time, but I am very thankful for my past self for even thinking to freeze that.
That then became almost like a time capsule of love without you even knowing it at that moment in time. And you kept that curry frozen for over 2 years. And when things had settled and you'd had a bit of time to process, what was your feelings every time you saw it in the freezer?
I think every time I opened the freezer, I honestly let out the biggest sigh. Seeing it in the freezer was a mix of a lot of feelings. Like, first off, comforting to know, like, wow, this is something that Tony made, and it's something that is somehow still sitting in my freezer. But it's also really heartbreaking to see, because it's also like a physical reminder that, oh, Tony's not here. There was a day where I was missing Tony a lot and just wanted to feel connected to him. So I reheated a bowl of it back then and enjoyed it, and just kind of left it there for, like, oh, if there are really moments where I feel so sad in my grief, it's there for me to be able to enjoy it. But then I also wanted to savor every part of it. So, like, I was being very, you know, very, very careful with how much I ate of it. When I was officially moving out of my house, I really did set that meal aside, because I did want that to be kind of the last meal that I had in that home, almost like a goodbye meal with Tony, and to really close that chapter off together. I'm glad that I was able to even record that moment, because it's something that I look back on a lot.
Sorry, forgive me. I'm sorry. It's just really moving. I'm sorry. Like you say, you saved the curry for very special moments, or ones where you want to feel so close to Tony. Now, that's how I came across your story. Mm-hmm. I saw you sharing such an intimate and beautiful part of your life that touched my soul. It really did.
Oh.
And my heart just went out to you so much for what you were going through. And I thought it was so beautiful that you'd saved that last meal for the moment where you were leaving your home with Tony to start a new chapter of your life, a very exciting new chapter of your life. And I think it's such a good idea that you'd filmed that moment, because in some ways it might have been too painful to do. But by doing that, you almost also time capsule it again to something you can watch back, you can relive. What was it like when you did have that last meal, when you knew you were going to leave your home that you'd shared with Tony, you were going to move on to this next chapter? What was going through your mind?
Ooh, I think honestly, I was so exhausted at that point because I had been packing all week, and you know, moving anywhere is really, really stressful. And I had a lot of moments where I was definitely frustrated and really sad that Tony was not there with me physically. Even the idea that I was packing our house and moving all by myself was a really tough pill to swallow. And I just hated that, you know, when packing, I also didn't really have much time to eat or cook or really think about that. And so, oh, like how convenient it is that I have this meal frozen for me to just enjoy whenever I really needed it. I had already packed all my utensils. I also had no rice, which feels like such a crime because Tony would definitely be very upset that there was no rice because he also loved rice so much. And so I was just eating the curry by itself, and even someone commented, wow, like you didn't even have proper utensils to eat that with. And I was like, yeah, I didn't, because I had already packed all of my silverware and they were somewhere in a box. So I just had to make do with what I had. It was funny because that's just, you know, life is funny in that way. And yeah, it was heartbreaking for me to record it. But like you said, I really did want to just capture that moment forever, because that was going to be my last time eating that curry. Even if it's just for myself, I do want to capture that. And so that's what I did.
Well, that the video of you without rice, without the proper utensils, and just being in that moment and memorializing it forever reached so many people. Were you surprised by its response? Was it comforting to know that, you know, you weren't alone in your grief?
Yeah, oh my gosh. The fact that so many people were able to see that was really nice. But I think the more beautiful part of me even sharing that video was how many people could relate and how many people were sharing their own stories in the comments. I'm so thankful that even that video could be an outlet for people to share something that maybe they never have shared before, or for them to be reminded of, you know, their mom's cooking, their grandma's cooking is almost like a shared experience, because I'm sure we all have memories of eating a meal with our loved ones or eating a meal that our loved ones created and feeling so connected to them.
Since obviously the curry reheating, you've moved to New York City, and that's a place that you and Tony always dreamed of living in together. What was that transition like? And do you feel like you're slowly starting to come back to yourself?
Ooh, yeah. This is probably one of the tougher transitions that I've had. I felt like, oh, at some point, I think I need to live somewhere else to get outside of my bubble and experience an environment that's totally different. You know, as he was so supportive, even though he didn't love the idea of moving to New York, he was willing to do that for me. We were in the talks of, okay, like, how can we actually make that happen? And then out of nowhere, I was like, no, we need to buy a house. So then we pivoted and ended up buying that house together in Atlanta. It was really important for me to stay put in that house after Tony passed, because I didn't want to put myself through such a big change after already going through the biggest change in my life. And for those 2 years that I stayed put in that house, there were so many dark moments, but it was also like, this is the home that Tony and I had created. How could I possibly let that go? I tried my best to make new memories, you know, with my friends and my family in the past 2 years in that home. But I also can't shake the feeling that that home never felt the same after Tony passed. it was really never going to be the same. One day I just decided, okay, I need to really make a change for myself or else I'm not doing myself any good. And I just decided, okay, well, New York was really the only other city that I had said that I would ever live in. So let's just make that happen, which is crazy because that's not my personality at all. I'm very much like a, oh yeah, let's do this. And then I'll think about it for 5 months and never actually end up doing it, because then I think about all of the logistics that go into that decision and kind of talk myself out of it.
Yeah.
But this time around, it was really crazy. And it's honestly, I think of it as like I channeled a lot of Tony's energy in that decision. And that's kind of how I see that transition is, I decided that that's what I'm going to do, and I made it happen somehow. And the thought of giving myself a new opportunity gave me a lot of hope. I made it to New York, and it feels crazy because it's like only been 3 months. I just love exploring a new place and being able to walk around. And one of the things that I was really scared of is, oh, if I move to New York, I'm cutting more ties that I have with Tony, and I'm really letting go of the life that I had there with Tony. But it's actually really amazing that somehow I'm here and I feel even more connected to Tony. And it made me realize the connection that I have with Tony is not tied down to a single location. Tony is truly now a part of me. So even me moving here to New York, I really felt like I was bringing him along with me. And I'm really thankful for that. And it's definitely helped my transition.
Do you think that you doing something that's out of your normal comfort zone, like moving, is part of what's helping you rebuild yourself and come back to your own happiness?
Yeah, for sure. So much of my identity has been in being a widow, because that's just, you know, a big part of who I am now. I think it's really easy to forget that you're more than that person, especially for the first 2 years after Tony passed. When I meet anyone new, I'm just like, the first thing I want to say is, I'm a widow. I lost the love of my life. Because that was like the thing that was constantly in my mind. I'm learning more and more, like, I'm not just a widow. Like, obviously being a widow is a big part of who I am, but I'm also Sabrina. I am someone who's starting a new chapter and someone who really is trying to find herself again. I think moving here has given me just a bigger vision of what my life could be. It's been so freeing to really focus on myself and what I want, and focus on the things that bring me joy and not being scared of how people are going to perceive me. So yeah, I feel like I really had to do this for myself, and this is just the beginning of that journey.
You've been so graciously open about your grief and your emotions online. What was the decision that you made to start sharing everything publicly? Was it to help you process everything? And how did it help you by sharing everything?
I started sharing really because I felt like if I don't share out loud, my mind is going to explode. My first time grieving someone so, so close to me, I really had no idea like what to even think, how to even move forward. So all I could think of in that moment was, oh, I need to have an outlet where I share very openly about this. And of course, I was still talking to my friends throughout all of this, but I also didn't want to constantly share with them every single moment. My friends are also grieving, you know, they lost a friend as well. And so I just kind of was like, okay, I'm going to just put it out into the internet then and put it out into the universe. And even if it's in the form of a sad video, like whatever helps me, I'm going to just do. And really did help me a lot to get my thoughts out. As terrible as it is, I am so glad to have people who are going through the similar situations and for me to really not feel so alone, because I think I felt very alone for a really long time.
What would you say to someone that has newly lost someone or is grieving someone that they love, they've lost their person?
Oh man, yeah. I really just wish that someone would affirm how awful of a situation that is. I would first and foremost say that I'm so sorry that life is really cruel in so many ways, and I'm sorry that life had to take away someone who was so special to you. And a lot of these things will never ever make sense to us. And you really are not alone. And there really isn't anything that I can truly say to alleviate the weight of that grief and to make that pain any less. Grief is really lonely, but you don't have to go through it alone. And you do whatever works for you and do whatever feels right to you. No one can ever tell you how to grieve. You have to do what you have to do to survive. And I do really believe that one day that grief will slowly evolve into deeper and deeper love. And it won't feel as painful. It's even crazy to think that I'm at this point now, because I didn't think that it was possible even 2 years ago. So
lastly, who is the Sabrina today? What are your dreams? What are you hoping for? What's next?
I think I've come to realize so much of life is so out of your control. And I used to have so many fears about the direction my life was going in, and so many fears as to what my future will hold. And it's like, wow, going through something that I never expected to go through has really put into this perspective that life really is so, so short. I want to channel my energy into, you know, manifesting good things for myself and being more open-minded and open to the opportunities. And I think that's the Sabrina that I'm trying to embody now. And you know, a lot of those parts are what I attribute to be like Tony. And so in a lot of ways, I am trying to be more like Tony, truly take each day one day at a time. And I think that's kind of exactly what I need to do right now.
Sabrina, I think you are so brave. Unfortunately, death is something that happens to us all at some point, but it's not something that you envision happening at such a young age. Also, the repercussions of that are the ones that obviously fall onto those that love the person the most, because they're the ones that are left behind to pick up the pieces.
Yeah.
I loved what you said when you said, just be a bit more Tony. Like the fact that you've gone and chased your dream, you're now in New York, you're doing it for the both of you. And I think that's really beautiful, and kudos to you. And I think if the Sabrina that was saying to her dad and stepmom, obviously that first dreadful dark night, when Tony had passed, if she could have a glimpse at you and what you've achieved and where this has taken you and the person that you've become through it, I think she'd be really proud.
Yeah, I think so too. Oh, thank you so much.
I think a lot of people feel as though there's like you're allowed a certain period of time to grieve that's deemed socially acceptable.
Yeah.
And it's not the reality, because once you've loved someone so deeply, or they're so part of your life, that's never goes away. It's like you learn to live with it, and life changes and evolves. You grow with those feelings and it adapts into, as you say, whatever gets you through to the next day. It's something that we all go through at some point in life that's really hard, and it's part of the human experience, but it doesn't make it any easier to accept.
Yeah, I don't know what it is either, but I think the conversations around death just make people feel uncomfortable. And I too, before experiencing the loss of Tony, also probably felt that way and didn't even realize it. There's nothing shameful about grief. Why don't we talk about it more? At the end of the day, it's still something so beautiful because there was and is still so much love behind that grief. So it really is such an honor to be able to even talk about it.
Grief is not a chapter you close. It's not something that you get to just move on from. It's something that you have to learn to move forward with. And today, Sabrina showed us just how powerful that journey can be. Her story reminds us all that love leaves traces in the meals that we share, in the homes that we build, and the people that we become after we've been broken. And to everyone listening, hold your people close tonight. Tell them what's on your mind. Cook them that special meal and go out and make that memory with them. Because in the end, it is the smallest things that last the longest. If you've enjoyed Sabrina's story today, please leave us a 5-star review. Like, share this with your friends, and we'll be back next time for more Steph and T.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21+.
Moto Casino.